Welcome to Pitcot Podcast with your hosts, Annabelle and Bill Pitcot. Today, we are launching into a deep dive that I think really shifts the entire foundation of how you approach health and fitness.
Yeah, no clue.
We're not talking about, you know, a new diet trend or some kind of magic pill.
No, nothing like that.
We are dissecting the ultimate secret weapon for achieving your goals, the power of two. And this is all drawn directly from the successful framework established by Pitcot.
That's absolutely right. For so many people, fitness goals just feel like this lonely, high-effort task.
And low reward sometimes.
Totally. And trying to stay consistent when life gets in the way is, as the research shows, even tougher when you're doing it solo.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to distill the surprising facts, both psychological and, you know, logistical, on why collaborating with a diet buddy isn't just a nice idea.
Right.
It's a dramatic multiplier for success. It really turns a tough commitment into a shared game plan.
We took a really deep dive into the extensive Pitcot knowledge base, which frames having a partner as, well, the essential ingredient. And if you want the full structured roadmap and all the detailed insights we're about to discuss, this information is all drawn from Pitcot's best-selling ebooks.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely visit www.pitcot.com/books to download them right now.
So let's just get straight into why this actually works.
Okay, let's unpack this. The data is just, it's overwhelming. People who start this journey with a buddy are, and I'm quoting here, way more likely to hit their goals.
Way more likely.
So it's more than just having a cheerleader. I was really surprised to learn that the success comes down to four very specific sort of structural pillars. So why? Why is having another person there such a powerful motivator?
What's really fascinating here is that it fundamentally changes your whole relationship with the goal itself.
How so?
Well, the first and probably the most obvious benefit is accountability.
Right.
But it's not just about, you know, showing up. It's about leveraging something psychologists call commitment bias.
Oh, tell me more about that bias.
So when you commit internally, just to yourself, it's incredibly easy to renegotiate those terms when you're having a weak moment.
Yeah, I've done that.
But when you make an external commitment to a partner, you suddenly introduce a social cost for failure. The Pitcot framework really emphasizes this. As they put it, you'll think twice about skipping leg day when someone's waiting at the gym for you.
Okay. The failure isn't just yours anymore.
Exactly. It affects the team. And that structural pressure is just incredibly effective.
I totally see that. It is so much harder to disappoint a friend than it is to, you know, disappoint that little voice in your own head. But what about when that stress hits and the negative self-talk starts? That brings us to the second pillar, right? Motivation.
Motivation is where the emotional support really, really kicks in. Think about those intense moments of temptation. You know, the late night cookie cravings, the sudden urge to quit a workout halfway through. Your buddy's voice acts as this immediate positive external filter. So instead of spiraling that, hey, we got this, mindset becomes an antidote to derailing yourself.
So it helps you reframe the moment.
It helps you reframe it together.
Yeah.
It goes from being a roadblock to just a temporary hurdle you have to clear as a team.
Okay, and the third pillar covers the practical day-to-day stuff, which I think often kills momentum faster than anything else. Sharing is caring.
Precisely. This is your logistical support system. When you start any fitness journey, the amount of research you have to do, what to eat, how to train, what works, it can lead to serious decision fatigue.
Oh, definitely.
But when you share that load, you share the resources. You're trading secrets, basically.
Like what?
Healthy snacks that are actually delicious, the fastest way to cook meals for the week, or even just killer workout playlists that get you through that last mile. It just cuts down the individual efforts so dramatically.
It sounds like a shortcut through all the boring prep work.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the final one, the emotional core emotional backup. This is where the partnership saves you from hitting that wall of loneliness.
It really is the glue. We often downplay the sheer emotional weight of trying to change habits you've had for years.
Right.
A diet buddy just gets it. They understand the whole spectrum of that struggle. The excitement, the frustration when you plateau, the power of a craving.
So you don't have to explain yourself.
You don't.
Yeah.
There's no need to feel embarrassed about a slip up. You get true empathy and support without any judgment because they're right there with you. That feeling of a shared struggle is what keeps the engine running when things get tough.
That whole structural analysis just makes perfect sense. It's like a multifaceted defense system against quitting.
It is.
But this entire framework depends on one critical question.
Yeah.
Selection. You can't just grab anyone. In fact, a bad partner can be worse than no partner at all.
Absolutely.
And this is where it gets really interesting. The Pidcot research gives us very clear criteria for, well, matchmaking.
This part is completely non-negotiable. The first requirement is same goals, same vibe.
Okay, so if I'm trying to shed some post-holiday weight and my potential partner is, I don't know, a seasoned triathlete trying to shave 30 seconds off their time, we're not a good match.
You're both aiming for health, sure, but your paths and the emotional investment needed are just completely different. If you're both aiming to lose, say, 20 pounds, the intensity, the discipline required, the types of setbacks you'll face, they'll all align perfectly. That shared path ensures you have matching energy.
Otherwise, one person feels dragged down and the other feels dragged along.
Exactly. The energy has to match.
That makes a lot of sense. The second point is about temperament. Finding someone with a positive attitude. Now, I assume this means avoiding negative people in general, but what if they're just having a bad day and they drag you down?
And that is the critical distinction. Setbacks are going to happen. It's how you respond to them that defines the partnership. You need someone who is programmed to lift you up. Someone who sees a cheat day as just a piece of data, not a total failure.
Right.
If your partner leans towards self-criticism or focuses on bringing you down after a mistake, that negative energy is just contagious. It will undermine your confidence. You need a cheerleader, not a critic.
And the third criteria deals with the logistics of it all, consistency. This has to be about more than just how far away they live.
Oh, absolutely. Proximity and how often you interact are mandatory. The commitment needs daily, low-level contact to really reinforce the habit.
I see.
If your buddy is someone you only see twice a year, that relationship just can't sustain daily accountability. The Pidcot material gives that classic example, a gym buddy at work. Perfect.
Because you see them all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Regular interaction builds that habit of checking in without it feeling like this huge effort.
So once you have that perfect partner, it's about moving from just choosing someone to actually acting like a dynamic duo. This is the structure for winning together.
Yes, the structure of the partnership itself is key for longevity. According to the framework, successful duos set shared goals, and these need to be hyper-specific and, well, crushable.
Crushable. I like that.
Forget the big finish line for a minute. Just focus on this week, for example. Let's hit 10,000 steps every single day this week. That specific shared challenge gives you a tangible mission you can conquer together quickly.
So the team runs on a stream of tiny victories, not just waiting for the massive final goal. And that consistency must require constant communication.
Correct. You have to check in often.
No.
A daily connection is non-negotiable.
Even just a text.
Even a quick text, a 5-second check-in that says, "How was your meal plan today?" or "Did you finish that run?" It maintains that constant low-level pressure that keeps the accountability system running without it feeling intrusive.
Okay, now for what I think is the most dangerous part, celebrating. The research insists we celebrate small wins, but with a huge caveat, keep the celebrations healthy. Wait, so I can't ever have a cheat meal. I mean, isn't that just psychologically unsustainable? How does the Pidcot framework even address that need for balance without, undermining all your progress?
That is a great question, and it really gets to the heart of it, Marie.
Yeah.
It addresses that exact friction point where most solo diets just fail. The research isn't saying you have to eliminate all pleasure.
Okay, good.
It's saying you have to eliminate the default linkage between hard work and getting a food reward.
I see. Interrupting the habit.
Exactly. You have to interrupt that habit loop. The source advises non-food rewards, like treating yourselves to a cute workout top or a new app subscription, something that rewards the behavior without undermining the nutritional gains.
And crucially, the process isn't a competition.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You celebrate the effort together, not just the result, no matter who achieved what.
That's about being smart, not just relying on willpower. The framework also points out some other going smart habits that make a real difference day to day.
One of the most powerful strategies is to meal prep together.
Oh, that's a good one.
Seriously. Put on some music, share the shopping list, cook massive batches of food, and pack your meals for the week side by side. It physically solidifies the partnership and turns a tedious chore into something fun.
It's a lot harder to bail on a prepackaged lunch when you both made it.
Exactly. Another key strategy to fight boredom is to try something new.
Because boredom is the silent killer.
It is. When the routine gets stale, motivation just plummets. Your buddy is the perfect accomplice to fight that. Swap your routines. Tired of jogging? Go try a Zumba class. Bored with salad? Try making smoothie bowls. The shared novelty keeps the energy high.
And finally, sharing is caring, even for information. Share tools.
Yep. Swapping fitness journals, sharing access to workout apps, sending each other YouTube videos with new exercises. It keeps the learning process active. You're both constantly refreshing the mental input, which keeps you engaged in the process, not just exhausted by it.
Okay, before we get into handling the inevitable setbacks and the huge mental health payoff, I just want to take a quick moment and remind you that everything we're discussing today is drawn from the amazing resources you can find on our website. Please visit www.pitcot.com for more information on all the tools available to help you on your journey.
Okay, now let's talk about reality, because this journey is not a straight line. The Pitcot Guide gives some really practical, actionable advice for handling those inevitable messy days without letting a slip-up become a total collapse.
The setbacks are going to happen. The donut exists. So if the plan goes off the rails, how does the partnership stop shame and guilt from just taking over?
The first rule is simply talk it out. Radical honesty is key here. If you had a cheat day, just tell your buddy. Talk about it, laugh about it if you can, and then intentionally move on, quickly.
Don't dwell on it.
Dwelling on the failure is what leads to long-term derailment. Treating it as a one-off and using your buddy for non-judgmental communication just minimizes the damage and keeps you looking forward.
And what about navigating the social world? You know, parties, weddings, big dinners out.
You have to party smart. You approach those high-risk environments as a tactical team.
A team, I like that.
Yeah, you deploy simple strategies together. For instance, always eat a healthy snack before you go so you're not starving. Or if you're at a restaurant, you could intentionally share a single dish with your buddy. You're automatically accountable and you cut your portion size. You're a unified front against temptation.
And to prevent that gradual slump after the initial excitement wears off, the final piece of tactical advice is to keep it fresh with those weekly goals.
Precisely. Those short-term, crushable challenges are engineered to generate what we call tiny wins. You need constant moments of achievement, at least weekly, to keep that motivational fire alive.
Right, because waiting months for the big payoff is just a recipe for quitting.
It is. Regular achievement, celebrated with your partner, is the engine that keeps you going.
So what does this all mean in the bigger picture? Beyond just the physical changes, the Pitcot framework really focuses on the mental health payoffs. And that psychological transformation for a lot of people is the real win, even better than fitting into old jeans. So what does this all mean?
It is absolutely about psychological rewiring. When you synthesize the research, the effects on your headspace are just transformative. First, the partnership eliminates that crushing feeling of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing you have someone who genuinely gets it, someone who shares the struggle and the commitment, is powerful enough to significantly reduce the anxiety and stress that comes with this kind of journey.
And that shared success must lead to a deeper internal change.
Oh, absolutely. Secondly, you gain a massive boosted confidence. Every successful workout, every craving you conquer, every shared win, it builds both of you up. And your buddy's contagious belief in you, that external validation, starts to build this durable internal self-trust that spills over into every part of your life.
And essentially acts as stress management.
It's the ultimate stress management system.
Yeah.
The source beautifully equates that combination of regular exercise, healthy food, and that reliable real talk with your buddy to therapy on the go.
Therapy on the go. I love that.
You are actively managing stress through movement and communication at the same time, making you more resilient. You're basically processing your emotions while getting fitter.
That is just a phenomenal way to look at this whole process. We've covered the psychological why, the critical who, the tactical how, and the profound mental reward. The Pitcot framework wraps it up perfectly. The journey is just easier, happier, and more fun with the buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You laugh more, you stress less, and you reach your goals faster because the burden is halved and the commitment is doubled.
It shifts the entire dynamic from punishing yourself alone to supporting a shared mission. And as you think about this for your own life, remember that these principles, shared accountability, a consistent partner, setting small goals, they're universally applicable. How could this same framework change the outcomes in other areas of your life, like learning a new language or your career or even your financial goals?
With the right buddy by your side, you really are unstoppable. You've got the roadmap. Now go on, send that text and just say, let's build this together.
If you love our deep dive and you want to make sure you never miss out on the valuable insights we pull from the Pitcot knowledge base, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
And please press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so other people can access it too. Thank you for being there with us.
And don't forget, you can find all the resources we talked about today, including the best-selling Pitcot ebooks, by visiting www.pitcot.com.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcot podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.